You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Daily Podcast. My name's Ben Barrett and I'm delighted to say I've been joined by Andrew Mount. Andrew, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Ben. How are you?
Very good. A little bit nervous. This is my debut appearance on the Racing Podcast. So
excellent.
You've already agreed to me that you're going to go easy on me and I'll do the same to you.
I did have my fingers crossed when I said that, though. quite literally anything could happen now.
Let's have a go. Let's see what happens. Now, today you've been part of the William Hill Racing Radio team that's been going through the betting and the racing in a fairly good day of action. However, things were a little bit nervous at around about 11:30 this morning. Ascot held an emergency inspection, shall we say. It passed, thankfully, and got given the go-ahead. Do you think there was any consideration at the time that maybe racing was going to be canned for the day, either for today's conditions or simply to save tomorrow's?
Yeah, I've seen it worse at Ascot, and certainly didn't look quite as bad as Uttoxeter, and we've had some meetings recently at the likes of Leicester and Market Raisin with a lot of standing water where various sort of random sections of the track have had to be cordoned off. So compared to what we've had in the last few weeks, I don't think it's that bad. It's heavy, but certainly raceable heavy. They seem to be going through it. So there is plenty of rain forecast for early tomorrow morning, yep, though. So there's been no announcement yet as we record this podcast of an inspection at Ascot on Saturday. But I'd be surprised if there isn't one. So no guarantee that racing will go ahead on Saturday. But fingers crossed.
Yeah, like you say, fingers crossed. If you stay tuned to William Hill's social channels, no doubt we'll keep you abreast of any inspections and their results across tomorrow morning. In terms of the racing today, then, has the heavy ground, as you say, it is raceable, has it had any impact on the racing as it's been going today?
Yeah, well, normally at Ascot on the hurdles course, when it's this deep, you want to be wide around the outside of the track and avoiding the inside rail. But the winner of the first hurdle, the 2 mile 5 maiden hurdle, raced around the inside for much of the race. That was the Ben Pauling train newcomer, 33-1 shot. What's up with you? So good to see that yard get another winner after a quiet time. And in the big race, we've just had Master Debonair beating the odds on Ribble Valley in the Grade 2 Supreme Novices trial. I don't think there was any major disadvantage to being round the inside, so Master Debonair making the running. I think really, given the sort of steady pace they're going in the conditions, being on the front end is going to be an advantage, and say Master Debonair made all. And Ribble Valley, perhaps a shade disappointing given his price.
Well, we are recording this almost immediately after that race, the Supreme Novices trial hurdle, which saw Ribble Valley come up short. Like you say, it came third in the end behind Master Debonair and McFabulous. Before the race went off, for the Supreme Novices at the Cheltenham Festival, Ribble Valley was 25-1, Master Debonair 33s, McFabulous 50s. Very early to say, but are you expecting any of those to fluctuate one way or the other?
Yeah, I say it's early days, very different conditions. We don't know what we're going to get ground-wise at Cheltenham come March, and no doubt Ribble Valley will be going back up north to Haydock for the Supreme Trial in January, so you'd perhaps be inclined to give him another chance. I think this was his first run right-handed as well in his career. If you want to be picky, you could say, well, it's the second time he's come down south and it's the second time he's come up short. He went to Cheltenham once for a bumper and could only finish sixth again behind Master Debonair. So I guess there'll be people thinking, you know, take on the short price northern horses who've been sort of beating up weak opposition at the likes of Weatherby and Haydock, take them on when they come down south, and you know, stick with the southern powerhouse yards, your Tizards, your Nichols, your Nicky Hendersons, and they would have been happy with a 3-1 winner today.
There we go then. So Antipost Racing is available on williamhill.com, including Cheltenham. So if you agree, disagree, you can take a look at all of those bettings available now. Now, before we go on to talk about a couple of races on a cracking Saturday, we're not going to get a chance to speak to you before Boxing Day. This is your last stint here at William Hill, so it would be remiss of you not to ask. I assume you're looking forward to some of the horse racing action over Christmas. Where will you be taking it in?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so I'm going to be on William Hill Racing Radio. Last year I went to Huntingdon. For about 5 years in a row before that, I went to Wolverhampton. And before I was working in the racing industry, I always used to go to Kempton on Boxing Day. So those are the sort of three meetings I'll be particularly interested in. Kempton, of course, you know, the King George. But the Quarto Star Novices Chase, the Grade 1 Novices, a race that I'm particularly keen on and enjoyed some success in over the years. Looking forward to the run of Danny Whizbang in that one for Paul Nichols, who of course has done so well in this race in the past. He was very impressive at Newbury in Grade 2 company last time, slamming a reserve tank by four lengths, albeit in a three-runner field. Now, after that, Paul Nichols said, I had expected Danny Whizbang to finish third. He was, I think, the outsider of three. He'll improve with the experience. He's a bit like Denman in that he shows you nothing at home. All he can do is get better. So that's got to be worrying for his rivals, who he sort of, you know, won a Grade 2 contest when they expected him to finish last, and he's going to be fitter this time. So, he'd be high on the shortlist for that 155, the Quarto Star Novices Chase. And, of course, at Wolverhampton, we've got the comeback run of Catchy, who's an absolute tool when he goes left-handed, a real machine on the all-weather and on turf when he gets a left-handed track. I mean, he's very nearly won in Grade 1 company on turf, but he keeps sort of hanging or drifting to his left, and that costs him ground and ultimately costs him the races. But I think Catchy's only once lost when he's gone round a left-handed bend. That was on all-weather finals day behind the excellent City of Light in 2018. So not been on the track since the 22nd of June, but such is his early speed, Catchy is draw-proof as well. So I expect him to sort of return from that six-month break and win quite comfortably. That's in the 4:55 at Wolverhampton, the condition stakes. So, plenty to look forward to, and those were two that I was perhaps most looking forward to.
A couple of festive picks then for Andrew Mount. Danny Whizbang in the 155 at Kempton and Catchy in the 455 at Wolverhampton. Both of those on Boxing Day. On to Saturday then. We've given you free rein to choose whatever you want to talk about. And you've picked out a race at Haydock to start with. It's the 240 race. It's the Tommy Whittle Handicap Chase. It's a Class 2 over 3 miles and 1 furlongs and just a little bit more. The Klondike is 4-1. The Hollow Ginge 5-1. Vintage Clouds 11-2. Lord du Mesnil is 13-2. Topwood 7-1. Cross Park 8-1. Orchardstown Cross 9-1. Late Romantic 12-1. And 16-1 for Calypso Cologne. Nine of them listed. A fairly competitive looking race, actually. Where are you going for this one?
Yeah, cracking race, this one. I like the look of last year's winner, De Klondike, who heads the market with us at 4-1. Now, you look at the recent winners of this race, they've all been aged 6, 7 or 8. He won it last year as a 6-year-old. So for the informed David Pipeyard, who advised first time that day, running off a mark of 139. He's £6 higher this time around, but he loves flat left-handed tracks. He's got great form at Newbury and here at Haydock, of course. And I actually tipped him for the race formerly known as the Hennessy last time out at Newbury on the 30th of November, back from 50s into 25s. He could only finish in mid-division, but the ground had dried out. It was officially good to soft. People who sort of keep their own times think it might have been a shade faster. He really needs sort of hock-deep mud. It was officially heavy when he won this race 12 months ago. So he's had a couple of runs, a good run over hurdles at Newbury on his comeback, finishing second at 40-1. That promising effort in the big race at Newbury at the end of last month. And I think with ground conditions to suit, and he's going to repeat last year's win. The Hollow Gin's the obvious danger for the Twist and Davis Yard. He's a 6-year-old. But yeah, anything aged in double figures here, like the 12-year-old Topwood, you know, he had a great season in Hunter Chases last year, but I just worry about him winning a race of this nature against younger rivals. So at 7-1, I'd take him on. But yeah, it's De Klondike for me.
A favourite in the right position then for Andrew Mount. De Klondike, 4-1 currently as we record this at around about 10-3 on Friday afternoon. Now your second race of the day is down at Ascot, but it's maybe not the biggest and most important race of the day, but it is probably the biggest betting race of the day. It's the 3:35, it's the Betfair Exchange Trophy, a handicap hurdle. 1 mile, 7 furlongs and a smidge ahead of them. It is 16 that are listed as going to post. And a bit of bonus, this is going to be one of our William Hill extra place races as well. A quick run through the betting. Quite Enough, 7-1. Umbregado, 7-1. French Crusader, 9-1. Not So Sleepy, 9-1. Countista, 10-1. Harambe, 10-1. Monsieur Lecoq is 10-1. Crook's Peak, 12s. Tamarack du Mathan, 12-1. Who Shot the Sheriff 12-1, 14-1 for Sir Valentine, 16-1 and bigger for the final four or five left in the betting. We've got extra places to play with, Andrew. Are you picking a winning selection or something at a slightly bigger price to get involved at the odds?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a fair race to throw a couple of arrows at, really. Some very interesting ones. Umbregado, one of the 7-1 joint favourites, second run after a wind operation. Ran really well in a big race at Haydock on his return and first run after wind surgery, but didn't see up the 3-mile trip, finishing fifth to Stony Mountain, only been 6.5 lengths. Coming back to this trip might suit, but you kind of think maybe sort of 2.5 miles is going to be his trip ultimately. So sort of it's quite a big drop back, 3 miles to two. So I'll be looking at sort of out and out 2 milers. And last year's winner, Mohaed, for the Dan Skelton Yard, has to be of interest. He runs off a mark of 1.45 here, and of course he won the race off exactly the same mark 12 months ago as a 16-1 shot. 21 runners that day, he was always prominent, and so given the way the track was riding on Friday, maybe that prominent style is going to be seen to good advantage as well. So I'd throw a few quid each way at Dan Skelton's Mohaed, but the main selection would be Monsieur Lecoq, the top weight for Jane Williams, ridden by Son Chester. Interesting to see him out again so quickly after he ran in the international hurdle at Cheltenham last week. Now, I bet him each way for that, and like all good each way bets, he finished fourth. I was hoping he'd be sort of fairly prominent, but Lizzie Kelly held him up, and he still finished in front of Pentland Hills, and he didn't aid his cause by racing towards the inside of the track in the early stages, and it was only late on that he was pulled off the dead rail where the ground was swampy and deeper on the inside. He's kept on well, and has only beaten 4.5 lengths and, you know, in a grade two off a mark of 150. He runs off here, and I still think there's room for manoeuvre there. I did some promo work with Lizzie Kelly not that long ago, and she was talking up this one as a potential champion hurdle horse. So wow. If that's to be the case, then winning a handicap off 150 shouldn't be beyond his capabilities. And of course, he ran so well at Cheltenham on his penultimate start, when third in the Greatwood Hurdle on soft ground. Now, they went quite hard up front that day. The winner, the second, the fourth, and the fifth all came from well off the pace, whereas he was sort of keen and making the running, or certainly disputing it, did best of those who were up with the pace. And I think based on that effort, that was off 145, £5 higher admittedly, but I still think there's races to be won of this standard with Monsieur Lecoq, and not a yard who over-raced their horses, that of Joan Williams and Nick Williams. So I would imagine the fact that he's running just 7 days after that good run in a grade two should be significant. So he's 10-1, 4 places, that makes plenty of appeal.
Monsieur Lecoq then, 10-1, as Andrew says, and a little nod towards Mohaed as well at a bigger price. 20-1 currently we have that one at. That was the 3.35 Ascot. Now, the powers that be wouldn't let me get out of here alive if I didn't mention the 2.25 at Ascot. The Marsh Hurdle, grade one, and Paisley Park currently sat at 1-4 in the betting. The betting suggests this is a foregone conclusion. Is it that simple?
Possibly not. We've had one or two sort of shocks in this race over the year, or minor shocks. Paisley Park's a fantastic horse, and you've got to love his owner as well, Andrew Gemmell. Now, he made a winning reappearance at Newbury on good to soft ground, beating Thistlecrack, only by a length, and it's not going to be a foregone conclusion. The grade one races very rarely are. And there's one or two here who might give him a race. Agripart for Nick Williams, for example. Interesting to see Davy Russell on this one. Now, backtrack 12 months. He was only a 7-1 shot, I think he was, for this race behind Paisley Park. And it was a shorter price than Paisley Park that day. Now, it was a big advantage to come from off the pace that day, not just because of needing to be wide around the outside of the track on soft ground, but there was a very strong headwind in the straight. So if you were making the running at Ascot that day, you were really scuppered. Now, Lizzie Kelly took Agripar straight into the lead that day and was just keen, made mistakes, was into the teeth of the gale, and just had zero chance. And he came back to Ascot next time, winning over 2 miles. So there is a doubt about this trip, although he has won over three at Cheltenham on heavy ground. So he seemed, I think really the ground is the thing with him. He needs it deep, a bit like the yards Rev de Sivola, who of course won this 3 times in a row from 2012. So David Russell riding for the first time, Agrapart, a horse who loves the mud, 28-1. Just a shame we haven't got a couple more sort of runners at 100-1 for the each way, but I'd still be tempted to back him each way at that price, and sort of 7-1 that he's in the first two. So I would have a sporting each way bet on Agrapart, or maybe bet him without the favourite Paisley Park.
There you go then. Paisley Park, maybe not the 1-4 shot it could be, and Agrapart 28-1, a possible chance to chase home what is a very, very short price favourite. Well, there we go. You did go easy on me, Andrew. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, quite all right.
Andrew Mount, thank you. Have a very Merry Christmas and a very profitable Boxing Day to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks. You too, Ben, and to all our listeners.
Thank you very much. Join Racing Radio Live tomorrow morning from 11:35 a.m. John Gibby's in the studio, Paddy Aspel with him, and Lord John Budden taking in the racing from Linkfield, Haydock, Newcastle, Thurles, and that cracking card from Ascot. Be sure to tune in all day throughout the racing here at William Hill. Thanks again.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.